So the living entity in the material world, continuing description of him, he carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Just like the air passes over a garbage dump and we smell the wind just coming from a garbage dump. Oh, it's horrible. But then that same wind will go over a rose garden and it will smell so wonderful. So that fragrance is just carried by the wind. And similarly, our mind carries different conceptions of life. Who we are, what is good, what is bad, what is happiness, what is distress. When a worm thinks in terms of happiness, he's just in the ground, in the dark, he's eating earth all day long, and he thinks this is happiness. And a human being, if you put him in that situation, he would think it is hell. So every living entity, based on his mind, carries around a certain concept of life, which includes happiness, and what's good and what's bad, what's happy, what's miserable. So many concepts. They're all relative, and they're being carried around by the mind, which is just like a wind going from one place to another. So how does the living entity get his conceptions of life? Think of the example of the wind. How does the living entity gain his conceptions of life?
From his association.
Yes, exactly. From his association. So if we associate with garbage dumps, there's a saying in English, it's a village expression, if you go lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Very deep. If you associate with dog-like people, you will capture all their diseases. And their diseases mean their concepts of life. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the prime quality of a Vaishnava is asat sanga tyag, a Vaishnava tyag, that he gives up materialistic association. Because he doesn't want to capture by that association their material concepts of life. And they take their different concepts of life from one body to another, just as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another body. So this has been explained in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajanyante kalevram. So what we're thinking at the time of death, what's in our mind at the time of death will carry us to our next body. If we love our dog very much and we're thinking about dog at the time of death, in our next life, we will be a dog. And that is rough. Very difficult. So we don't want that. So the essence of material of life is we have to fill our consciousness with Krishna consciousness, not material consciousness. That's why sometimes, and based on those mind's desires, what happens? The living entity thus takes another gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, eye, tongue, nose, and sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. So based on the mind, we get a particular eye, nose, everything, body, everything comes based on the mind, what is filling the mind. And the mind is full of whatever we associate with. So sometimes devotees will watch television or go to the movies and things like this. How foolish is this? Why? Why is it foolish? Or even why is it dangerous? Not even foolish. Why is it dangerous?
It's creating samskaras in the mind.
Yeah, you're getting impressions in the mind that will lead you to another body. And these things are so deep. They so deeply affect the mind. Because they artificially give you very deep senses of pleasure and very deep senses of pain. And things that are deeply pleasurable and painful, stick in the mind very deeply and you cannot get them out. You You cannot get them out. Prabhupada once was lecturing in Hawaii, and he was saying, how the devotees who go surfing, go out and ride the waves on surfboards, how dangerous it is. Why? Because they're creating a sanskara impression in their consciousness to ride the water all the time, be underwater and in the water. So in their next life they can become fish. So we can joke, we can make so many jokes about that, and Prabhupada did too. But actually he said it's such a dangerous thing, because if you become a fish you may not come to human life again for billions of years. So it is. So for that little pleasure, how much do we have to pay? Putting all these desires, unlimited desires in our hearts. So it is so dangerous, and that will force us to take a specific body. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. So when a devotee who has knowledge sees a person drinking or engaging in horrible activities or going to the movies or this and that, his heart, a devotee, because his heart is soft and he's compassionate for so much pain, because he sees these human beings are misusing their human life, and their next life is going to be an animal birth. How unfortunate they are. And that, he is part of dukkha dukkhi, and that actually gives him pain to see the suffering of another. This is nice consciousness. So therefore the devotee preaches to be kind and merciful to others. Save them from the most dangerous condition of losing their human form of life. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. But those whose minds are not developed, who have no knowledge, and they're contaminated, and have all covered by passion ignorance, who are not situated in self-realization, they cannot see what is taking place, although they may try. Very, very heavy. They cannot see. To the degree that we are purified, we can see. So this is very, very important. Very good material to preach on, too. And very good material, of course, to realize. Thank you. Any questions or comments? What? There are pigs. Yes, we love to talk about the pigs of Vrindavan. What about the pigs? You mean next life or last life?
But I think the pigs, there's nothing interested in the pigs.
Yeah.
In which way?
Why are they so interested in the pigs? I don't know. But they're so attractive, even though they're repulsive. Because the pigs... Okay, I will speculate. Why I am attracted to the pigs? Because they're obviously in the most horrible condition of life. They're in the water, in the sewers, and they're drinking and enjoying and grunting. And they have their little piglets all around them, and they're just wallowing in the sewer. When it's hot, it's the most amazing things. You see the pigs in the sewers, and they're just... And they're in ecstasy. Pig heaven. And we just look at them, and it's so amazing to see how happy they are. So this is material life. They're in the worst of all conditions, and they're thinking they're enjoying. So it is amazing to us. We're thinking, boy, look how foolish they are. But we forget we're no different. Huh? This is the last time they're going to take birth.
Yes, but, I see the
And sometimes, you know what they do, Mataji? Sometimes if you're going near the bazaar, in the lower class, and you hear the pigs screaming and screaming and screaming, and they're pulling their hair out. They pull their hair out, and I don't know what they do with it exactly. They make toothbrushes or something. And you hear the pigs go, I don't know. They make some really amazing screaming noise, and they're pulling their hair out. I don't know if they're like shaving brushes or toothbrushes or hair brushes or what.
Do they eat
And sometimes, yeah, sometimes they take them out of Vrindavan and kill them and feed them to people. Huh? And Vrindavan is becoming more and more, there aren't places that sell meat, but not in the open in Vrindavan. So that wasn't a question, you just wanted some pink guitar. little pink guitar we got.
Because I was thinking, you know,
there's nobody touching people
here.
No, lots of people touch them, but not very high class people. Things have been done in very deep subject matter.
we only see it relative. The peace will happen. For us, it's a formidable condition of life. But as you said, they are enjoying.
Yeah.
You know, how can that be helped? Or other conditions. So, only in our condition, when we are in that type of body.
And not only that, we're in anxiety now. And we're not enjoying as much as them. So therefore, we should become pigs. What a great idea. Pigs, that's what I do. Come on. Yeah, come to the right conclusion. That's to show us how ignorant it is. Compared to what real pleasure is, actually they're not enjoying very much. We have to understand that they're perverted. Their idea of pleasure is perverted.
Because
there is snow. There is so much ignorance. What is the most abominable thing? That's the meaning of ignorance. What is good they think of as bad, and what is bad they think of as good. And if they could if the soul was uncovered and they were in that position, if they actually had their memory, they would die immediately. They could not tolerate the pain of being in that situation. Just imagine taking you and being in that situation.
I often imagine that.
Yeah? What do you think?
Yes, that is
the problem. Yes, right. So just imagine how dull their consciousness must be to think it's wonderful. Just think how much ignorant they must be to think that's wonderful. So if ignorance becomes the source of pleasure, if ignorance becomes the source of good, then Kali Yuga is... That's Kali Yuga. Ignorance is the source. Just like any sane man, killing is the most abominable thing.
Still,
what's going on? This is ignorance.
Yeah, but I thought George Hell is not that bad because we don't know that
we're in hell. Okay, so if you're such a scientist, you should... No, you shouldn't. Okay, I can't have that. You shouldn't. But let's look at it the other way. If being in the gutter full of stool and urine is so wonderful, just imagine how wonderful Krishna Loka is. Think of it like that.
That's what I thought. It has to be so the same consciousness as entrance, but it's to learn of it.
What? The same consciousness? No, it's just so covered and foolish and ignorant.
But the thing is that it's in general, you actually suffer. Yeah, but then you have your consciousness. And then you're getting trained up to the big one. So you won't think. That's why I don't think it's so bad. Yeah, that's what I heard. You get trained up on the subtle planets and they throw you in this river where you can, you know, swim around and eat, you know, meat and maggots and stool and stuff. And then you get a body and then you have been trained up to enjoy it. But before that...
I think it's good.
Yeah, but before you get the pig's body, it's not an ordinance.
But also, you go to Hong Kong and you'll see what the people eat there. China, you know, it's like different concepts. I remember when we used to preach, 1972. One time I got fired up to preach against meat eating, so I went around Hong Kong and I took all these photos, slides of pigs hanging and pieces of meat, and I had someone has. A friend of mine from the Philippines had gone to a slaughterhouse in the jungle and they had taken a picture of a man, pictures of people cutting off the heads of water buffalo and the blood dripping out. So I remember one time I was showing the slideshow and I was saying how horrible it is and abominable it was. And then at the end they said, how do you feel? The other people said hungry. So different lives, see, this is the point on different species of life. Different people have different tastes, have different twigs that they appreciate, like that. But it doesn't mean that the pleasure is the same or the consciousness is the same. It means that there's different coverings of ignorance, different kinds of suffering. It's actually suffering. And we think it's enjoyment. Like the camel eating thorns and tasting his blood and thinking these thorns taste so good.
Yamiyam Bhakti Smaran Bhavam is something for everyone. At the time of death, if a person is living born of goodness, he will go to a person.
That verse means whatever we are thinking, remembering at the time of death, we'll go there.
In Bhagavatam, there is a description of many various planets. It means if you do this thinking activity, then you will go to this various planet. What is the relation between these two?
If you live sinfully, at the time of death, you will think sinfully and you will go there.
Somehow you're situated in the mode of
goodness. No, somehow. If you live sinfully, how will you be situated in the mode of goodness? This is the illusion of the materialist. I will live a hellish life, and at the last moment, I will think, chant Hare Krishna and go back home, back to God. And that way I will enjoy and then really enjoy. That is cheating, and who do you think is a better cheater? You or Krishna? Yes. Yes, so you take off your shoe and beat. What else to do with this? It's a cheating mentality. I'll live like a thief. And then when it's time to get caught, I'll say, I'm sorry. And then I won't get punished. So who is so foolish to go for that? So whatever your mind is attached to, like just like if someone pushes you, if you're walking down the street, if someone pushes you, you become terrified. And is it easy to say Hare Krishna then? So you just become terrified. So when you're dying, if you've done horrible things in your life, your mind is going to think,